We are the 1, 2, 3
SAR Losers!
What up, everybody? I'm Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
Hey, yo, I'm Eddie, and I know the least about sports, but I'm your sports fan, your average sports watcher. I just don't know the who's who's or the what's what's.
What's up, you guys? I am Ray. I'm from the North. I'm the Yankee on the show. I love to ice fish and play football, and I'm the only guy on the show that says, oh, lock it up.
Yeah, we got NFL playoffs this weekend, but we start the show off with a game we call
Would You Rather!
Game on!
Would you rather listen to NSYNC or Backstreet Boys for the rest of your life?
What the? Ray, answer this dumb question.
Backstreet Boys had way more hits.
Well, name them.
Bye.
I think that's NSYNC.
Oh, great. Coach, they blend together for me. They're really the same band. But I will go Backstreet Boys. They had JT, and I think he had some more music that I can run to.
No. Just NSYNC, not JT.
Right. But okay. I liked JC in the band. T.
JC? He has no clue. This is probably the worst would you rather.
You realize that Justin Timberlake was in NSYNC, not Backstreet Boys.
But there is a JC. And he's a Backstreet Boy, I believe.
No.
JC Chazé is in NSYNC.
So there's a JT and JC in NSYNC.
I knew I'd get
it
covered.
And Lance Bass.
Yeah.
And Howie Day.
No. Howie Day was like, I had a bad day.
Yeah.
Well, one of those songs. I don't know. Coach, I don't know, dude. Like, really. Backstreet Boys do I Want It That Way. Okay, all right, I'll go Backstreet Boys because I feel like they're more of like dudes that just sing well. NSYNC were like, they were like little kids. Like they were younger, I think, than Backstreet Boys when they were like big. Backstreet Boys, for the sake of not caring about this, would you rather?
Wow, gee, sorry you're so offended by the would you rather. I just thought about it. I was like, man, that's kind of a fun one.
It's hard for me when you give me two things that I don't give a crap about.
Well, do you give a crap about getting poked in the eye or poked in the nose? I mean, what's the difference? Like,
yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean,
I just love.
You got so mad at this would
music.
You rather.
I love music, and these are two bands I would not pick to live for the rest of my life listening to.
Also, I really don't know their songs. I know who they are, so I guess I'd go with NSYNC just because Justin Timberlake is the most famous one out of the bands.
But you pretty much named all the NSYNC members.
I don't know if those are right.
I think you were right.
I think Howie's in...
Nick Lachey.
No, that's in 98 Degrees.
See?
Then you got Nick Carter.
Nick Carter was an NSYNCer.
No, he was in Backstreet Boys.
Okay.
And you had Howie in Backstreet Boys, but then you had Lance Bass was also in NSYNC.
Which one was Donnie in?
Donnie? Wahlberg.
No, that's New Kids on the Block.
See?
Hanging tough. Are you tough enough?
Oh, I got the right stuff, baby. Okay.
Can
we do New Kids on the Block?
No, that wasn't part of the question. Okay. Or you can say, the white stuff.
That was
the
Weird
Al. In the middle of an Oreo, the white stuff.
This dude doing Weird Al.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, my brother and sister, they loved New Kids on the Block.
Every
time we got in the car, they would say, Mom, Dad, put in the New Kids on the Block tape. And I was like, good grief, can we throw that thing out the window?
Hey,
it was so annoying.
Do you guys remember Milli Vanilli?
Yeah, they
died.
Do
you all even know what that is?
Yeah, one died.
One dude.
Killed himself.
Do you remember that, Ray?
Not really.
They lip-synced and they won a Grammy.
Milli Vanilli was like, they were stars. Two dudes. And they were like stars. Huge worldwide sensations. It wasn't even them singing.
Really?
And they got busted.
They
won a Grammy. And on the award show, they're singing and the CD, because back in the day, they didn't have tracks, like digital tracks. The CD skipped. So it was like, blame it on the. And they were just like, they just ran off the stage. And they were like, wow, like this isn't real. And they researched it, and random people recorded those songs with their voices and Milli Vanilli acted as if those were their voices.
Wow.
And the one guy committed suicide, and they had to give the Grammy back. But my question is, why would you give the Grammy back? You gave it to me.
No, I think they took it back.
They can't take.
They come for it.
They can't come to your house and take.
Like Reggie Bush, he got in trouble,
and he had to give. He gave the Heisman back.
But did they come to his house to come get the?
They literally have to get take the trophy back.
Yes,
because I get the. Hey, we've seen the cop shows. The cops come if they got a warrant. They can come get you.
Sure.
Have you ever seen a cop go with a warrant for a Heisman or a Grammy or?
LAPD.
Open up. Open up.
We're here for your Heisman,
Mr. Bush. Mr. Bush, we know we're in. You're in there.
We're breaking the door down in 3, 2, 1.
Man, sorry, guys. I was asleep. What's up?
Nothing. Give me the trophy. And then
I don't know where it is, dude. I don't know where it is.
You know what it looks like. The guy's on one leg with his hand out like that. That one.
Who was it? I saw some interview with some guy saying that his mom had. Or maybe it was.
Well, Tim Tebow said it was hiding behind a wedding
picture.
That's
it.
He said it wasn't even front and center. He said his brother's wedding picture.
Wait, you don't believe that?
Stop it.
That's what he said. They go, hey, where is it? And they go, Tim Tebow, where's the Heisman? He said, it's at my parents' house, first of all, not even at his. And he said it's behind other pictures.
Do you guys really believe him?
Yes. Well, then Shawn Johnson, the Olympian that we had on the podcast, she said that her medals are like, I don't know, in a underwear drawer or something.
Sock drawer. But if you want to talk about her underwear, I mean, creep.
No, I just mean like.
I'm just joking. I understand.
That would, dude. Can you imagine him saying that when she was here?
In your underwear drawer.
Hold on, Ray. I am not the one that said underwear drawer.
I know, but
your boy Eddie.
That would have been perfect for you.
No, my question.
I got a question.
So who did you pick? You picked Backstreet Boys.
I guess, Coach. Yes, go with Backstreet Boys.
That's how we play.
Would you rather?
Oh, and what a night last night. I was going to come in first thing, talk about the Spurs, Kawhi Leonard, but we're not going to talk about that first. We're going to talk about NBA refs need to be fired.
I saw the call.
For what?
The Durant?
The Durant. I mean,
3 steps out of bounds.
I mean, guys, his whole body was out of bounds.
The refs, if you guys don't know what we're talking about, the Rockets were in Oakland last night to play the Golden State Warriors, and Kevin Durant, quote unquote, saves the ball out of bounds after taking 3 steps out of bounds, and he throws the ball back in. His foot is obviously touching the ground when he throws the ball back in anyway.
I think both of his feet. And I'm pretty sure his whole body was out of bounds.
And they don't call it. And Steph Curry hits a shot to put him up by two, and they're going to win the game. They're going to win the game on that call until James Harden bails out the refs and hits a game-winning 3 with 2.8 seconds left. Do you miss that bad of a call?
Coach, and that 3-point shot, there was a foul on Harden's shot, too, that they didn't call. I mean, crazy.
So NBA, they don't review stuff
they
like
do.
That. It's not the same as
football.
Come
out, well, they do sometimes. They'll review in the last 2 minutes who it's out on. That's okay. It, though.
But they did look at that. They went back and looked at that. No, it wasn't that
one.
No,
they didn't look at
that. It was another play that they
looked
at.
So imagine this. You know, in football, how they're always pretty spot on, and you'll go, did he get 2 feet in? Oh, he just got 1.5.
I mean, he ran down the baseline.
What if they would have reviewed that NFL style, and they're like, oh, God.
That's embarrassing.
He didn't have it. The announcers are like, okay, here we go. Oh, there's 1 out, 2 out. 3. Oh, he was all out.
Actually, his whole body was out of bounds.
Guys, we're going to go to commercial. This call is horrible. The refs are going to act like it was close, but wow, we have the video footage.
And then you think, like, let's look where the ref was and what was he looking
at. He's right down the
line. He was looking right at him.
And Kevin Durant is 7 feet tall, guys. You can't miss him. Like, it's not like he's a little guy like Muggsy Bogues and maybe he was hiding behind someone. You had a bad angle. 7 foot tall, Kevin Durant runs down the baseline out of bounds. Saves the ball, and I don't understand. How do they, like this year, an NFL ref get fired in the middle of the season for a bad call. They need to be suspended. The refs, I feel like, need to be suspended or fined when they make such horrendous calls.
Luckily, the Rockets won, and it didn't
matter.
Or
else
if they would have lost,
everything.
That would have screwed them up. That would have lost the game. That dumb call.
Well, and here's the deal with the refs. It's all about tenure. The longer you've been in the game, you get the Super Bowls, the World Series. These eyes are aging, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. Have tenure as a professor. Love it. Be tenured. Get tons of money. Be a great professor in university. But these tenured refs and NBA guys getting awarded World Series and NFL stuff, it ain't good, folks.
I always wondered the same thing. Like the old ref, Dick Bavetta.
Get the young
the
bucks.
Old dude. If you watch the NBA, you know who he raced
always
Charles Barkley.
Hair. Oh, yeah.
At the All-Star game, Dick Bavetta was bald. But anyway, I do not understand how it. Like, he was like 70 when he finally retired, I feel like. How can a 70-year-old guy's eyes, 70-year-olds can barely drive. We don't let them. They have to go to the DMV and get their driving test every year, I feel like. But we're going to have them calling the best athletes in the world. And you're going to be able to call the fouls and who's out of. I don't know how you miss such a blatant call.
That's a good point, Ray. Like, they should just be looking for the youngest refs, the best youngest refs, and just replace them every year. Because, yeah, look, I'm 39 years old. And I'm having a problem right now that I never thought I'd ever have, and I would admit to you guys.
Oh, so you thought Durant was inbounds.
But, like, if I'm looking at my phone, reading a text or something, and then I look up at the world is blurry for, like, one whole second until my eyes adjust.
Wow. Hey,
guys, I'm 39 years old. Can you imagine 80-year-old Dick Bavera?
Bavetta.
Whatever. Like, imagine that dude. Like trying to adjust from the line to his body. Like, okay, I saw nothing but blur.
And it is thing now what TV stations are doing. So the refs and officials, they used to just be done. When they retired, they got fired or whatever. They were done with it. Now they're now in the TV booth where they let's check in with Gene Stachatori about the NFL call. What did you think about that replay? So now these refs have another position they can have after reffing, and they get to see all these replays.
Let's go to Dean Blandino and see what he thinks of the call.
Let the old
obviously,
guy...
he's got 2 feet in, Jim. I mean,
every ref now, though, is on a TV station.
Do you like that?
Usually what they say, we already know.
Right. That's what I say.
No, but it's interesting.
And some of them stumble and stammer. And I'm like, guys, you're not making the call. Just say something. Just be like, all right, back in the day when I was a ref, and I would have called it in. And they're like, the feet. Guys, you're not live on the call. They'll make the call. Just tell us what you think.
Who's the Fox guy?
He's great.
I mean, he's really the
the slick back hair.
Yes. He's the OG.
I feel like he was in an alley and he did like some crazy under
the
table
deal. He's in the Italian mafia.
Yes. And then he came in to record a segment.
Mike something.
Mike Pereira.
Mike Pereira.
That's his name.
He is the OG.
Dude, he is awesome.
They did I think he might have been the first one they did that with. He's my favorite.
Dude, Google Dean Blandino. I think he's the younger version of your boy. And I think they're trying to go younger because they're like, man, this guy's going to be out in a couple years. We need someone young to take over. So Dean Blandino, I feel like, is the younger guy.
Dean Blandino.
That may not even be his name.
Coach, there's a one. Yeah, is a rules analysis.
Yeah, that's
assist him. NFL.
Yeah, Google image him.
Coach, I mean, he's got a one sentence Wikipedia.
Well, he doesn't have a picture on his Wikipedia. But anyway, I just don't understand how it can be that blatant of a call unless the ref had the Warriors money line.
Okay, Coacher. We have seen refs come out and say that their games are fixed.
What are you talking about?
What if he had money on the game? What if we still have a scandal in our hand?
It was an 8-point spread.
Money line.
Who's our boy?
Donaghy?
Donaghy.
Donaghy came out and said, hey, sometimes
he went to prison.
Right, it was him.
First.
So now you believe in that. I've said it day one.
You're not understanding what I'm saying. You're saying Vegas controls it. I'm saying this guy.
The fact that the NFL signed a deal with Vegas. Did you see that?
Yeah, with Little C.
Insane.
Yeah, because their gambling brings more eyes to their product.
I know it does.
But not one call is going to change.
That change calls. That's the game.
Luckily.
But
in the long run, if a ref was dirty like Donaghy, they're going to get caught, which he did. He got caught red-handed, went to jail.
Well, here's my problem.
Can you catch it when you do it once every 20 games?
That call right there? How blatant is that? He does
just
it again.
Blame it on your eyes.
He does it again. He's going to jail.
But my thing is, a foul. You just call a foul.
LAPD.
Like, towards the end of the game, you call a foul because you know the spread. Things like that. And Donaghy got busted. And I just do not believe that he was the only I feel like the NBA busted him, made him the scapegoat, didn't look into anybody else, and just swept it under the rug. Do I really believe he was the only ref involved in that scandal?
No.
Coach.
It makes sense to be other guys.
This is just my mind and how it works. Like, I put myself in this situation. If I'm a dirty ref, I feel like I can get you, Lunchbox, to have a Bovada account and just do 10 grand on this game. I'll blow it.
What if I just told you Bovada doesn't let you do 10 grand?
Okay, whatever. But stuff like that. My account, my carbon footprint will never go to you because you just cash out and give me the cash under the table.
Right.
It's just so easy. Like,
it's not so easy, though. Oh. Because they have ethics commissions and people that supervise, and if they see a lot of lopsided action on a game because of something, they have people.
Homeboy rolls up in a Ferrari to the game. Where did you get his money from?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They have people that I don't know what they look for, but they have people that are constantly monitoring bets on games, and if like NBA game gets all of a sudden this enormous amount of action, it's like and then the next night, another game that the same ref gets an enormous amount of action. That's when they start going, huh, I wonder what's going on behind the scenes.
But they only care about the big whales. They don't care about your $3 that you placed on your Spurs bet last night.
They don't care about
a guy, the gambling sites.
Yeah, the guy in Nashville that placed $3 on Spurs -2.5. They don't care about that guy, you.
Right.
Oh.
They care about whale in Vegas, 100,000. They're like, is it fishy? Nope, that's legit money. He loses and wins, we get it.
But James Harden, dude, I don't like James Harden as a basketball player.
I don't like
player.
Him at all.
But he can fill up the cup. I mean, he just drains.
Hey, whoa. Don't hate on him. I admire that.
I love it.
Has anyone else ever said fill up the cup?
No.
Coach, is this an original phrase?
That's
fill
what
up the cup.
Guys, that's what he makes buckets.
Wait. But did you just make up fill up the cup?
I guess. I don't
know. Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. Now, sports fans the world will say,
fill up the cup.
Hold on.
Fill up the cup. Fill up the cup.
Maybe I've heard it somewhere. I don't know. I'm just saying.
No. You take credit for that
one,
Coach.
No, I don't. I'm not taking credit because what if I have heard it somewhere? I don't know. I'm not. It's not one of those ones.
Hey, next Tuesday, there he is, James Harden, and that guy can fill up the cup. Dude, and then we're all going to be like, holy crap, they got that from Lunchbox.
Hey, and let me ask this, that game, afterwards you interview a head coach, a player, is this a game where Harden made the game winner three? Is this a game where you interview the ref? How great would that post?
Right, that's what I feel like the refs should have to do, answer to the media after a game.
They don't ever.
They don't ever have to face the scrutiny that a player or a coach or anybody else faces. But they make a bad call, and they just go home, and the league will contact him, the head of officiating, and be like, hey, you missed this call, and they get docked, because I know they do get graded. But why don't they have to answer to the media? Because if they would have cost them the game, let's say in long way down the road, let's say it cost them the game, and positioning in the playoffs comes down to one game. That's that one game.
But what's the point? What are you going to get out of that interview, one? And two, you don't know these refs can even talk. Like, you don't even know. Like, what
some
if they
of these
all have
players
bad
can't,
stutters?
I tell you, some of these players
and
can't
they
talk.
And they don't interview those players. They try to stay away from those players.
And you know what refs are so proud of, especially in high school, and I used to public address announce, they're known for, and it's almost like they're taught, once the game's over, you run off the court.
You have to.
For some weird reason, because they don't want stuff thrown at them. They don't want fights. So these refs they're career, and at times they base it off of running off the court where they should have to answer questions and talk.
When I was reffing soccer games when I was 12 years old,
Coach, 12 years old.
I was reffing adult league soccer, and when the game's over, you go to the opposite side of the field.
Did you wear little shorts?
You wore shorts, yeah.
Like refs, like little shorts. I mean, when you're 8 years old, all the refs when I was young, they had little shorts and tight referee shirts.
No.
Is that what you wore?
No, just wore a normal shirt.
You guys are lucky you got to play soccer. Northerners didn't play soccer growing up.
Yeah. That was kind of a standard.
Did you play soccer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that sucked. I'm so jealous of people in the South because you got the option, golf, soccer. You're a Northerner. You didn't play golf, and you definitely didn't play soccer.
Oh, we didn't play golf. I didn't know what golf. Listen, I thought golf was the dumbest, most boring thing in the world because my good friend down the street, his dad would watch golf every weekend.
Tell me his name. I love that guy already.
Mike Conry, and he sold Wranglers for a living. He told me.
He sold the jeans, Wrangler jeans?
Yeah.
Dude, this guy an American hero?
Let me tell you. He told me.
He drove a train on the weekends.
He'd drive around and sell them, and he said, listen, when you're 18, I'm going to hire you for Wranglers.
Really?
And he goes, you're going to sell.
Why don't you go work for them?
Oh, I went to college, and then I fell into this radio thing and kind
of
stuck with it.
Time.
I don't know. Yeah, waste of time. But he always told me, you got a job with Wrangler anytime you want it.
So what about golf, though?
But he would watch it every weekend. Every weekend. And I'd be like, how do you watch this boring crap? Like, this is so boring.
Hey, smash cut 20 years later. Lunchbox is on a Saturday morning.
No, only on a major.
Okay.
But now, once you play the sport, you understand how amazing what they do with that little ball is. Because I didn't play golf then. The first time I played golf, I was like 16, and I was like, okay, this is cool. But once I got into it, and you watch it, like, wow, you're amazed.
So when are we going to start giving a crap about lacrosse?
Never.
I mean,
never.
It's a cool sport, I guess. Like, right?
They were starting a lacrosse team right when I was leaving, like my junior year of high school, and I thought about playing, but then I was like, man, the equipment's expensive. We're gonna be terrible. I'm out.
And it's usually the private schools that have the lacrosse. I mean, growing up in a crappy high school, like most of us did. No golf.
Michigan had lacrosse.
But now they're starting. They I think they're starting to be more in public schools instead of. It used to be just a private school thing. Now it's starting to be a more.
Well, then there you go. Dude, in Michigan, if you went to just a normal high school, you didn't have lacrosse, you didn't have golf, you didn't have hockey, and you're in the North and you didn't have hockey, and you for sure didn't have those expensive sports. Most didn't even have tennis.
So in South Texas, where I was from, golf, there was a golf team in high school, but only three people were a part of it. And
were you guys any good?
I don't. They won stuff all the time.
We won state all the time.
Coach, you had been great on that team.
No, I was not good enough. We had we had a dude. He played on the PGA Tour. He was a year older than me.
He did?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Troy Mattson. He went to Georgia Tech, and then he went in the PGA Tour for like 10 years. Pretty impressive.
You guys can disagree with me on this. Football, baseball, basketball, feel like it's got to be a God-given talent. Golf, I feel like if you start playing golf young, you can play in the middle school. Let me finish. You can play in the high school team.
Sure, anyone can.
Oh, okay. But then you can play into college and maybe make the tour just because you started young.
Negative.
Dang it.
Negative. I think like a golf mind is more powerful than the golf body. Like, you got to have the golf mind. That's tough. Have a mind for golf, discipline, not get distracted. Have your mind on a game for 18 holes. What's that, 5 hours sometimes? That's tough. And then the body, listen, in golf, there are so many different things that makes a golf shot perfect. Like, it takes your wrist, it takes your grip, it takes your back, it takes your legs, it takes everything, and if it's not right, you don't got it.
Ray, I'm going to agree with you a little bit.
Yes! Yeah, I knew it. As soon as I started talking, I knew it.
I'm going to agree with you a little bit the more I think about it, because that it's more of a repetition thing with golf, I feel like.
Muscle memory.
And I think that helps a lot, because my roommate in college, he was a really good golfer, but he just started young. He lived in East Texas, and his dad built a driving range on their property. Like, he just owned land.
Love it.
And his dad was really good at golf. He wasn't a superior athlete. He just played golf a lot. And so as a kid, he played golf a lot, and he could hit the ball a mile. He could hit it a mile because he learned and he just played a lot. So I think a little bit, because you see like Justin Thomas plays when he's 2 years old.
You see the video footage when you watch him on the weekends. Oh, he was playing when he was two. Well, there you go.
Because his dad and his grandpa, were golfers, and they taught him at a young age. So I think golf a little bit more than football. You got to have some God-given.
But
you still have to have talent.
You got to have talent. But here's the thing. You have to have interest. Let me tell you something about kids. They don't want to play golf. Their friends aren't playing golf.
Right.
No, just because their dad or their grandpa was. I see Justin Thomas commercials or videos of him playing. It's like, I wish my 10-year-old would even have one interest to be like, I'll go play around with you. He doesn't. They don't even think about golf. And the fact that, and it makes it worse, the fact that grandpa plays it. It's just like, yeah, why would I want to do something grandpa's playing? So that's a big thing too. Like, mentally, the fact that Justin Thomas or Tiger or anyone wanted to play golf at age,
and they may not have wanted to, their parents forced them.
Oh, for sure.
But
Tiger's dad looked. I mean, Tiger's dad was a real hard ass, I think, and was like, "All right, you got to get out and practice. You got to get out and practice." And so maybe that's a little bit of it, and then you fall in love with it later on because you're good at it. And you realize you can make money? I don't know. But, guys, now can we talk? We talked about all this bad stuff. Can we talk about the return of Kawhi to San Antonio to take on the Spurs?
Boo!
Yay!
Boo!
Yeah, Eddie would have cheered him.
I would have cheered him.
Amazing. He wants to leave. He gets out. He demands a trade. He's not going to come back. He's dodging the Spurs all last season. Oh, I'm injured. My doctors say I'm injured, and your doctors say I'm not. Bad breakup. Goes to Toronto.
Dirty.
Comes
divorce.
Back last night after we traded him away, and we traded away Danny Green. So the question was, would the Spurs fans boo or would they cheer?
The 6'6 guard from North Carolina, number 14, Danny Green.
Boo!
6'7 forward from San Diego State, number 2, Kawhi Leonard.
Go ahead.
The Spurs organization. Very classy move. They played a tribute video to Kawhi and Danny Green.
It was beautiful. If you didn't get chill bumps watching that, you're dead.
They played it before the game. Classy move by the Spurs, just because they're a classy organization, even though it was a bad breakup. I wish they would have paused more so Danny Green could have got a bigger ovation.
Thought the exact same
thing. I thought, because the crowd wanted to cheer Danny Green because Danny Green played hard and everybody loved him in San Antonio, and we traded him. He didn't want to leave. We traded him. So I thought the crowd could have given a little, you know, we could have had more time to cheer him. And then Kawhi Leonard, I mean, he got booed every time he touched the ball. And I absolutely loved it. And one time he's at the free throw line.
Amazing.
And they start going, traitor,
traitor,
traitor, traitor. Loved it. I thought it was very classy. And we did. We did.
I thought it was very classy. What are you talking about?
No, that's what you're supposed
traitor.
To.
Eat it. Thought it was very classy.
Go eat it.
Now that's class, kids.
That's class.
Are you watching, son?
You all learn.
No, because I'm
baby box. Watch this and learn. That's class.
They
son.
Didn't throw things at him. They didn't do it. They didn't curse. They did it in a classy way. I didn't think the boos were that loud. They weren't as impressive as when LeBron went back.
Well, it's early in the game, 7 o'clock Central Time. People still. I bet the stadium wasn't even full, or the arena.
I'm talking
packed.
About all night. It was okay booing. It wasn't. Oh my gosh, that was the most amazing booing I've ever heard in my life. When LeBron went, it was like a 6 o'clock game, and they booed so freaking loud. It was amazing.
Well, and, you know, like, I don't think 100% of the crowd was into the booing. Like, I don't think they all felt like they should boo.
There you go.
It might have been split, Coach.
Well, no, it was way more, it was not split, but I feel like they did a good job booing. But now that it's over, it's time to move on, San Antonio. We're done with it. We did our booing. We got it out. The Spurs dominated the game. DeMar DeRozan said, listen, I'm the new Kawhi, had his first career triple-double. The Spurs played great. But now we have to let it go. He did help bring us a championship. Last year, we were frustrated. We're angry. We gave him what we needed. We booed him. Now it's over. We don't need to boo him anymore. Let's move on. And after the game, I thought Greg Popovich, with the classiest of classy moves, he goes up and he pulls Kawhi Leonard aside and he has a one-on-one chat with him and brings him over and talk, you know, with another coach, and they're chatting, another Spurs coach. And one of the cameras tries to come up and get in on the little talk.
Conversation.
And Greg Popovich turns around and goes, uh-uh. Get away. Get away. What are you doing? Like, it was a human-to-human moment, and I thought it was so classy by Greg Popovich.
That's why he's awesome. That's why he's like one of the best basketball coaches ever.
Lunchbox is going to cry.
That is why he, to me, is the best coach of all time. It was a solid move.
Not only did he go and say, give him daps, so they did their handshakes, gave him daps. That's cool. Then he pulled him aside just to be like, hey, love you, whatever went down. Pulls him aside, then shuns the cameras. I mean, that was a great moment in American sports. Coach, wake up.
That's what I said. It's not, and he didn't do it for the cameras. That's what I'm saying. A lot of people do stuff for the cameras where, oh, okay, the camera will hear, like, hey, good job. No, he did it because he wanted to bury the hatchet. He wanted to bury it. He said, it's over. Like, wash it all away. We're all good. Like, what happened. We're adults.
So he wanted to say something to him, but he also wanted to the cameras Thank to capture you. Him saying Thank we're burying
you.
The hatchet.
Thank you.
He no, didn't do yes, it for the cameras.
Yes, no.
He didn't do it for the cameras, but that moment was just a symbol of the hatchet has been buried. So that was great he did that.
Yes.
So the media can just shut up.
Thank you, Ray. That was a move to tell the fans, like what you just said, Lunchbox, tell the fans, the media, everyone, we're burying the hatchet. Don't bring this up anymore. We're all good.
But you realize because hard that is to do?
It's
like,
hard.
No guy does that. No guy, like, forgives, apologizes, goes to another guy,
listen,
says that. Dude, that's hard to do.
Privately, away from the eyes of us and the media and all the fans, is where the real stuff goes down. The real conversation. Lunchbox, if we were on this podcast and we got into a big fight and you quit, I wouldn't come on air or let some social media camera catch us talking publicly. I would text you or call you or go to your house and have a real conversation about us.
I disagree, because we got in a fight last year when I walked out and you didn't talk to me until we brought it up the start of the podcast the next day, because you wanted to save it for the podcast. So a little bit I disagree with you, but go ahead.
Because that wasn't a real argument. That was a podcast argument. That was a podcast argument. We get into these podcasts. Like, in real life, you and I wouldn't really, really get upset about a sports opinion and a non, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, real life, if you said something about my wife and I said something about your wife and we hated each other, we would deal with this personally. And then we would see how we can do this publicly. But Ray is right. Like, this, that conversation on the court, taking the cameras away, is telling everyone, guys, we are burying the hatchet.
And whatever he was saying to him was like a bunch of F words, probably. Like,
No, not to Kawhi.
No, it wasn't to bad. It wasn't bad to Kawhi, but it was probably like, man, F all these people, F this, F that. He didn't want them also to read his lips.
He was just saying that. Listen, we're good because Greg Popovich is becoming the head of USA Basketball. He's going to be the head coach,
and
Kawhi Leonard is going to be on the team. Yes. And he's saying, listen, man, like, okay, we were frustrated last year. We butted heads. Something happened. It broke up. But what he's saying is it's good now. We've moved on.
Yeah.
You're an amazing basketball player. And if he wanted the camera to hear it, he would have had the camera there. But he didn't want the camera to hear it.
Right. He's not that kind of guy. He would
exactly.
Never
that's what I'm saying.
That's his M.O. But, guys, the thing is we don't really know what happened. Like, we don't know if there's any apologies or if there's – because we really don't know what was happening with Kawhi and the Spurs.
No,
like,
we do know.
No.
He wanted out because they were saying, hey, you're not hurt. And he's saying, yes, I am. And they were butting heads, and he didn't think they handled it right. And he was mad the way they went to the media and things were said. So, yes, we know what happened.
Coach,
he wanted
and then
out.
Pop came to the media and said that stuff about Kawhi.
Yeah, exactly. So we know
we
what
know
happened.
They
were fighting. They were fighting.
So they were fighting. And the moment last night was they're fighting, but he can still be man enough to grab him and
right.
talk to him.
That's
okay.
what
so
I'm saying.
We know. We
so
know.
They're fighting, and both parties are mad. Both parties are upset about something. One says, you know what? I just can't do this anymore. I'm leaving. And then the fans boo? Like, it's a move.
Yes, the fans boo because they felt like he quit on the team. The fans felt hurt. They felt betrayed. Like, man, we supported you, we loved you, and you walked out on us. That's what they felt.
When are we going to realize that a team is no different than any other team when you're a professional player? Like, it doesn't matter. That's why some players play for 10 teams. Like, it doesn't matter.
It's okay if you leave in free agency. He just quit.
Coach, it's okay if you leave whenever you leave, because it's not fair sometimes as a player gets traded. They didn't want to leave, and they got traded. They don't look at the last team being
understand.
Like,
that's different. Traded is different.
Traded is different. Leaving in free agents is different. Getting mad and quitting on your team and saying, I'm not going to play the rest of the year, that is totally different. That's
yeah, when you quit and leave, that's like leaving the household mom with the kids. That's bad. That's gross.
Right. That's like Vontae Davis walking out on the Bills at halftime. This year,
yeah.
If he came back to a Bills game, should the Bills fans boo him? Did he quit on his team?
Sure.
So they should boo him. You're okay with booing that?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I guess.
Absolutely. That's what I mean. And that's
but if
what
he's
they
still on
like.
The team, though, people usually don't boo. If he's still wearing your jersey.
And that's the thing. And I was watching last night, and I was just thinking about how Zaza Pachulia changed the course of the NBA as we know it now.
Huh?
A couple years ago.
Who is Zaza Pachulia?
Pachulia.
Pachulia.
He played for the Warriors. The Spurs were up by 18 in the third quarter in game one of their seven-game series. And he slides up under Kawhi. That's when Kawhi gets hurt. Kawhi plays nine more games for the Spurs. That's it. He was out the rest of the series. The Spurs go on to get swept. They were up by 18. They go up 1-0. Kawhi's still in San Antonio. He's still happy. Everything, the course of the NBA changes because of Zaza Pachulia. Isn't that crazy
to
think?
That's a great point, Coach.
You're deep, man.
No, it's a deep point.
It's true.
But I know you can't pinpoint stuff like that, but that's crazy that you just put it on that dude in that moment that nobody else has really
all
realized.
All because of Zaza Pachulia.
That's it. But it was a cool moment last night. I'm just telling you. I thought the Spurs fans did great.
They were
booing.
Perfect. They cheered Danny. They booed Kawhi. They did great little chance at the free throw line. It was a great thing at the end with Pop and Kawhi. Dude, it was a great movie.
It was a great
energy
game.
Was so different last night. And Chris Webber even alluded to this on the broadcast, saying, man, whenever you're playing your former team, your teammates know. And so the Spurs knew for DeMar DeRozan, you know what I mean, to be a little more hyped because he's playing the Raptors and they're playing their old teammate.
Right.
He said it is a different feeling when you are playing in those types of games. And it felt like it last night. Like, it felt like the players were amped up from the jump.
That's how it should feel all the time.
And it sucks because, like, on Kawhi's side of it, you know, he was like, all right, I'm just going to, like, dominate this team. So every time he would make a play, he'd be like, this energy.
He was a little more animated than he usually is.
Because he's never animated.
I love when players get up for a game, a regular season game like that. You can feel it. Sometimes when you watch maybe a Sacramento Kings game or just a random game, like, on the West Coast.
You know what I love? And it seems whenever Ray does a reference to a team, he always goes Sacramento or Golden State. Those are the two teams he refers to. He doesn't go Washington Wizards, right. Atlanta
Milwaukee Bucks,
Orlando Magic. I mean, he always goes to those
Miami
two teams.
Heat.
I was saying because they're on the West Coast and it's a weird time. Don't you feel
Jazz.
Like sometimes the fans are still getting there, the players are still tying their shoes, and the game's already started? I feel like sometimes guys aren't even ready for the game to start. That game last night, Spurs-Raptors, that was a must-see game. They were all amped up, ready to play. I wish they all were like that.
Yeah.
I do too. I wish they were all like that. But it's hard to get
it's
up for
hard.
Every single game. That's what. That
but it's also your job. And I try to get up every day for my job. So.
But hey, your job's a little bit easier.
A little bit easier. Exactly.
A
to
little
get
bit
up,
easier.
To get up for an NBA game, dude, that's an unbelievable thing. That's crazy they do that as much as they do. I mean,
it's a lot.
I mean, it's
takes
all
a,
relative, guys. I mean,
I know.
We would get used to that schedule if that's what we did.
I don't know. It's hard to travel and play back to back.
Coach,
I
can
mean,
you imagine?
It's hard,
they chill
but I mean, you get
day.
Used to it. It was hard. You know, it's hard working construction, and then you get used to it. You're like, it's my life. It's hard for us waking up at 4 a.m, but we got used to it.
Can you imagine?
Who works harder, a construction worker or an NBA player?
Probably an NBA player.
Okay. I think they
works harder, but I'm saying your body gets used to things. Like it's
exactly
like there was a time in our career like where I was just nonstop working weekends, weeks, weekends, waking up early, staying up late, waking up early,
drinking, smoking. you were smoking cigarettes,
sure. Like really, and I would be like, I don't know how I did that, but I did it. And when I stopped, I was like, dang, that's crazy. Like. I felt like that was normal life. So for NBA players, it's normal life now. It's when they retire, they're just like, oh my God, I can't believe I worked out that much. I can't believe I was up all that time.
Yes,
playing
they
that
work
hard.
Out a lot and they do a
lot
it's
of
hard.
Work.
We think, oh, it's so easy. It's they fly private and it's easier than it used to be back in the day, but they do put a lot of taxing on their body. I mean, they work hard.
Mm-hmm. And can you imagine getting done with an NBA game once you're done with the media, this, the coach, talk.
And then get back to the hotel.
It's probably 12, midnight, 1 o'clock.
How do you wind down?
How do you go to bed after an NBA game?
That's why, like, Noah, what's his name?
Joakim Noah.
That's why Noah was saying,
he was
like,
lit.
Every time after a game,
lit.
He'd get back to his apartment and all his roommates are like, let's go. And
of
he's
course.
Like, let's go.
I just played an NBA game as a pregame for this. Let's go party.
I don't have to play until 7 o'clock tomorrow night, dude. I'm lit.
I would tell my wife after we'd play shows that would end at 10 o'clock at night, I was still amped at 2 in the morning.
You were
because,
lit.
Because we were, no, we were, and the energy from the show like was still going all the way to 2 a.m. And then finally at 3, you start getting tired. But that's how it is for these dudes. They're amped.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm so excited.
Lit.
I was excited for the...
They're lit. I did drive through Memphis, you know, over the holidays, and I thought about Joakim Noah.
Did you?
Being in Memphis now, being like, I'm more responsible now. There ain't nothing to do in Memphis.
Did you think about anything else when you were an hour outside of Memphis in Tunica? Dude, you drove right by Sports Gambling USA, freshly opened up with sports betting.
Southland?
No, Tunica.
Tunica.
What is that?
Dude, it's
Tunica,
right outside
Mississippi.
It's right outside of Memphis, and you can sports bet now.
Coach, that's not in my route.
Oh, well, the wife's
you
gotta asleep.
You got to go left a little bit.
Hey,
okay, you got to go an hour left.
I never passed Tunica.
Oh, well, the wife's
if the
asleep.
Wife's sleeping, I miss an exit, honey.
Right. If you're in Memphis, you got to go left at some point, and
okay.
You head to Tunica.
Dude, when we went to Panama City, and we were driving there, me and my girl, I looked at the route to see if there were any casinos. They were an hour out of route, and I was like, I can't get away with
you
that.
You did it, and then your wife's like, but the GPS says we should have been there by now.
Yeah.
Delayed traffic. Oh, it's crazy.
My wife, we have the baby, and so we'd have to pull over every once in a while to feed. I was like, man, there's a little casino right over there. If I park in the parking lot, I'll just run inside while you're feeding. Just text me when you're done. You know, it takes 30 minutes. I can get 30 minutes of gambling.
I drove by that Greyhound Southland Park or whatever.
Yeah, in Little Rock.
In Little Rock, right? Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's on the other side of Memphis.
Is it Memphis? Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It's on the other side of the river from Memphis. And
it's West Memphis.
I drove West Memphis.
West Memphis
5. Three.
Oh, three.
Yeah, there was three.
Oh, whatever.
Hey, but I drove by probably 3 a.m. because I did
it packed.
Overnight. Jam packed at 3 a.m.
We drove by at 10 o'clock at night. packed.
Jam packed.
Because they can do what kind of betting there?
Oh. Gaming machines.
Yeah.
All right. And I think you can roll the dice.
I think there's craps now. I think there are.
Because it did say roll the dice.
You saw the billboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Dude,
yeah.
That would have been tempting. Hey, sweetie, you chill with the kid. Let me go for 30 minutes.
And last night, another big basketball game went down. UConn women, they lose to Baylor.
That is awesome.
Did
finally.
You watch that?
No.
Oh.
First loss in over 4 years
during the regular season. I knew it was regular season.
Fill
they
me
always,
in. I have no idea about this.
They lost to Baylor. Their 126-game regular season win streak was snapped, 68-57.
UConn, like, they've won all of it for how long?
No. They go to the tournament, and sometimes they get upset.
Yeah, they've lost the last two tournaments they haven't won.
Really?
But, yes, they hadn't lost in the regular season in over 4 years. 126 games winning streak. That is so impressive.
That's quite the record, man.
It's so impressive, but it also tells you how the lack of parity in women's college basketball, the lack of competition.
Oh.
There's a few, like three or four good teams, and the rest are just kind of like whatever.
Same coach with that record?
Gino Auriemma. Yeah. Auriemma.
I mean, that says a lot about her.
Him. That's a him.
Him. Coach, I don't know what I'm talking
Dang
about.
You should have let him go with that.
I had 50-50.
You should have let him go with
50-50, and I missed. God.
Why do you assume it's a woman?
Well, because women coach basketball, women's basketball. That's what I just assumed. My
you
bad.
Know Bill Laimbeer coaching the WNBA, right?
I don't know who Bill Laimbeer is.
You don't know who Bill Laimbeer is?
No.
Detroit Pistons.
The
great.
Bad Boys?
Do you know who Trent Reznor is?
Yes.
Who?
Nine Inch Nails.
Holy. You got me, coach.
Yeah.
Dang
How
it.
About that?
Wow.
Dude, I know. Listen, you guys think I'm some dummy.
No. You're a sports genius. I know you are. You
and
say it every day.
And I'm a Trent Reznor.
Trent Reznor, and you know some random musicians.
I know some random musicians. They're like, I know random yeah. things. But yeah, I just thought that was crazy. After 126 games, the streak is over. So UConn got to get back to the drawing board. They're a little depressed up there in where are they at?
Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Yeah.
UConn upset over there in Delaware.
Well, I was trying to think of what city they're in
probably in New Haven. Coach, I have no idea.
I only know two cities in Connecticut.
In Connecticut, go.
Bristol, uh-huh. New Haven.
That's
now
it.
Now that you say New Haven.
I think that's it. Is Bristol in Connecticut? Oh, that's ESPN.
Yeah. I think it is.
I don't know.
I'm going to assume it is. And so more details are coming out about Antonio Brown.
Oh, please tell us.
Did they mention the unmasked singer? Or the masked
No. Is that a terrible show? Was it terrible?
No. It's a good show.
I won't watch it.
Okay.
It looks so bad.
Tell
it's
me this.
A good show.
How do you hear him sing under the costume?
Okay, so
are the voices auto-tuned?
It starts off with here is the masked singer, right? And he's dressed up from head to toe. You can't see
I've
who
seen
it
the
is.
We've all seen the previews.
Okay. So, and they run a little 2-minute package and they're like and their voices, "Hello, my name." It's like distorted and whatever. It's messed up, so you don't know who it is. And they just say stuff like, "Oh yeah, I am 38 years old, whatever, and I love random stuff." And they have these little clues where you end up kind of thinking like, oh, that could be Paris Hilton. Like, I am Hollywood royalty, and I just want to get away from my family. And I'm not that much of a singer.
Okay, get to point of okay,
yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So my point
I
is.
I feel like I just watched the show, audio version.
Yeah. I'm giving you the whole show.
You know what people just did? Turn off podcast.
Dang,
hey,
man.
Guys, if you've ever wondered the audio version of a TV show, you just got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, how exciting is that?
And then once you do that, they sing in their regular voice. So the only time you can really hear their voice is when they're singing.
Okay, so Antonio Brown was really singing.
Really singing. All right. But I've never really heard Antonio Brown, like, sing, so.
How was it?
It wasn't bad, but he did in his little package. He was just like, "Watch out, Ravens!"
So, dead giveaway.
He would just do a little trick.
But here's my question. With that, he was planning on making the playoffs.
Who? What do you win? Is there someone on there that wins $1 million if they unmask him, or is it just?
I don't know. It's fun because you watch the game thinking you know who it is. So you're really just like watching and be like, oh, I bet that's so-and-so. And then when they unmask it, I was wrong. That wasn't. Because I thought he was Victor Cruz. Because he says, I get in trouble for dancing. So I was like, okay, he's an athlete. Maybe Victor Cruz, Odell Beckham Jr., he dances. I don't know. Deion Sanders, maybe. So you start thinking, and then when they unmask, you're like, ah, oh, dang, Antonio Brown got me.
And they're
that's
stealing.
Why it's
you didn't
exciting.
Do spoiler alert.
Well, too late now. It's been 3 days, right?
And all these shows start overseas. American Idol, or actually, what is it? America's Got Talent?
Oh, American Idol, dude. Did you hear the story about Brian Dunkelman?
No.
He was the original.
Driving for Uber now.
He was the original host with Ryan Seacrest.
Driving
and he
for
thought,
Uber.
After the first season, he was like, man, this show's not going anywhere. And so he quit. He was making $17,000 a week when he co-hosted with Ryan. Now he's working 45 hours a week to make $800 as an Uber driver.
I'm an Uber driver fellow as well.
No, that's his job, dude. He went from American Idol. If he would have stayed with American Idol, look at Seacrest, and this dude is driving Uber. So, like, when Seacrest flies into the airport and needs a ride to the studio, guess who's picking him up?
Dunkelman.
That would be awkward. Can you imagine? Hello, Seacrest.
Hello.
No, so let's say Seacrest hits request for an Uber.
Oh,
and Dunkelman,
yeah.
It goes to his phone. Do you think he hits reject?
Of course. But it doesn't say Ryan Seacrest. It would just say Ryan.
But he'd see his picture.
I don't have a picture on mine.
Oh, boy. That would be so terrible.
Dude, Ryan walks in his car. He's like, oh,
guys, don't knock Uber. You can make $200 a day.
No. I really don't think it's a big deal. Like,
What do you mean?
The money is a big deal, but...
You don't think it's a big deal
I don't.
That he was in the industry and he was trying to make it big and he was making $17,000 a week and now he's making $800.
Enough to live off of.
45-hour week.
Enough to live off of. He may be happy in certain areas of his life that he wouldn't have been doing American Idol.
But
you know what I'm saying?
That's why you got to have good people around you and you get good advice. You get some bad advice. Next thing you know, you make a career fall like that.
Do you think someone told him, like, hey, Ryan, you don't need... Or what's his name, Brian?
His quote.
Dunkelman?
I knew that leaving when I did would give me the best shot at having an acting career.
There you go. He was trying to do
his
own...
Do I regret not remaining on the show?
Yes.
Especially when I opened my bank statements.
Yeah. Do you guys think, like, I don't have aspirations to go out to LA, try my own thing? Of course I do. But I know that I can stay here with the bread and butter and just keep riding those coattails.
And are you happy?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm not going to pull a Dunkelman and try to do some acting career that's like a in the wind. Like, he didn't, he made a terrible decision.
The only problem is he had it. He had it in his hands. Like, he had his ticket.
Like, if he would have stayed on Idol, he would have had more opportunities.
And he threw it away.
Yeah, he just made a horrible life decision.
But you can't look at life that way.
No, you can't.
No, you can't. You say, like, all right, well, that was a mistake. And
do you ever look back at your life and think, man, I regret doing this or I regret doing that?
Sure, but I don't look at that and say, like, oh, man, like, I really, like, what? I shouldn't have done all that. Like,
dude, when you're sitting in L.A. traffic driving people to their meetings and, I got to get to set, man. I got an acting gig. Can you drop me off over here?
I wouldn't put myself in that scenario. I would move far, far, far away from Hollywood. Like, I would just be like, all right. Why would I be here and remind myself every day what I could have been?
And to be real with you, I don't even know if he lives in L.A. I just keep saying L.A. He's an Uber driver.
He probably lives in Cleveland.
Oh, I feel so terrible. That just seems like it's just one of those moments like, what could have been?
Man.
It's just like with stock right now. There's cryptocurrency out there. If you guys invest in cryptocurrency and it blows up, you're going to be a millionaire. And you're going to always think back, in that moment when I invested or didn't invest. I'm telling you, there's a thing right now that's going on, the invest-wise, betting-wise, something that we need to hit. This is IBM 1980, something. Is it cryptocurrency? Is it the sports gambling world? Something we need to invest in now that's going to blow up, and we're going to say we were so dumb. And that's happening right now.
It is happening right now. And you want to hear a good story?
Yeah.
My geography teacher in high school. She bought a bunch of Dell stock early, and boom!
She's a billionaire?
Millionaire.
Does she still teach?
She was still teaching, but she would take a week off or something.
She would take a limo to work.
She had an RV, and she'd drive around, and that was how she spent her money. She hit the Dell stock early.
Let me give you an opposite story. A buddy of mine in high school.
This just got dark.
A buddy of mine in high school.
What's his name, Dunkelman?
No, I don't even want to say his name.
Don't say his name.
His dad.
Yeah, coach, give us his first and last name.
His dad won the lottery. Like,
how
won
much?
The California lottery
how
for
much?
Like $500 million.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Guess what? Set for life. He quit his job. They built a new house, humongous house. And they just
You were in Texas. How did he win the California
lottery?
He
was in California. And he bought the ticket there.
Like, all right.
Yeah. And that's where he won.
Okay.
Oh.
Dude, son. My friend, I mean, just wasted his life away. Like, I don't even know where he is today. Like, drug addict. I mean.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was gone. Like, so much dreams that dude had. We would sit and talk about, like, dude, we're going to be screenwriters. And, like, yeah, we're going to move to L.A. and, like, write the new Seinfeld or whatever. And he was so bright. All the money in the world. Dad paid for everything. He couldn't do anything with it. I don't even know where he is today.
That's the problem, is the dad paid for everything. He didn't have to work for anything.
Well, I know, because they were multi-millionaires.
Man, I wish my parents were multi-millionaires. Gosh, way to go, Mom and Dad. Thanks for letting me down.
No, you'd be like my buddy.
I had to work for
But you're
everything.
Saying he had all the money in the world, but he chose bad things in life.
Yeah.
But his dad probably still has the money.
Still
rich.
Has the money. Probably still pays for him to live that life.
Okay, so I thought you were going to say the dad lost all the money, but the dad's still rich. So the kid didn't win the lottery. It's really not that sad of a story.
So he's still good.
Yeah.
But you're seeing on Facebook and stuff, he's doing dumb stuff and making bad decisions.
I don't even know where he is today.
So he could be out in L.A. writing TV shows. You have
last
no
I
idea.
Heard
he could
wasn't.
Have written The Masked Singer.
Last I heard, he wasn't.
Oh, he could have invented The Masked Singer. Yeah.
Probably not.
But probably so.
Maybe. But back to that. I think all these shows, they come from overseas and come over here, and then they become popular. America's Got Talent was huge overseas. It became pretty popular here. Yeah. Masked Singer was from overseas.
Yeah, and Korean. It was Korean.
They brought it here. I think it'll end up being a big hit.
I think so, too.
Because now you see the Titan thing.
That Titan game is going to be... no one's going to like
it. It's copying the stuff overseas. The
Titan game is copying American Ninja Warrior.
Right, and Ninja Warrior for sure copied something overseas.
Copied American Gladiator.
That's the Rock one? The Rock one?
Yeah. It looks stupid.
Hey, speaking of Titans, that commercial of the two
segue.
Titans owning a cupcake shop?
Yeah, they really do.
Is that real?
Yeah.
They own a cupcake shop
Michael
here in
Griffin
Nashville?
In Austin. And Brian Arakpo.
Oh, it's in Texas.
They went to UT together.
Okay.
Hey. Owning a cupcake shop is awesome. Just don't eat all the dividends.
I like it.
Eat all the profits.
Oh, yeah. All the profits.
Yeah, it's really funny.
I like that a lot. And I watched it and I'm like, I wonder if this is real. Like, do they really own
Absolutely.
A cupcake shop?
Absolutely, they own a cupcake shop. That is so cool, right?
Thanks, Coach. That's cool.
But Arakpo, he just retired this year. Like, he just played his last game last week. Yeah.
They got all those banners around town for the Titans because we had that huge game against the Colts. So there's all Titans banners throughout Nashville. And they're just up there. If you steal one of those,
No, they don't care because they're not going to use them again. You can take
Where are they? Like on a street lamp
they're
or something?
Every street lamp in town. Arakpo, Mariota, Derrick Henry. Every player on the team has his own little banner.
You can take them now.
And what are you going to do with them?
Put them up in your wall. It's cool.
Your girlfriend's cool with that?
I might have to scale a light pole. Boys, if you read about me in the 9 o'clock news.
No. You can take them. You can have them. Sort of like when I worked at the Spurs.
Coach,
like,
you're not sure of that.
What are you in here for? I was stealing banners from light poles.
Who'd you
stole
get?
The Mariota
I tried
one.
To get Arakpo, man. Arakpo. They got me when I was getting Arakpo. I had Delanie Walker, and I had Mariota, and I had Corey Davis. I wanted that Arakpo, though.
Should have gone for Henry.
They didn't have eyes on Henry. So anyway, when I worked at the Spurs, they would put up banners leading in like NBA finals. And like people stole those, took them all the time. When they were walking out, they'd just take the banners off hanging up. So yeah, you can have them. Season's over. They don't use them again. So you're good.
They might be generic, though. I don't know if they say a year on them, Coach, or playoffs.
But the colors change sometimes on the uniform.
Did you know that Lunchbox owns in his possession, like, Houston Rockets pants? Like
No, full warm-ups.
Full warm-ups? Like, in boxes?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like, I learned this.
They're life-size. Like Yao Ming's.
Yao Ming's?
No, they belong to the players.
Right, yeah. I know.
And he has them, like, in storage. Where is it? Attic?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy, the random stuff that
dude
has.
He worked for the team, so he was able to grab them.
My wife worked at the Toyota Center in Houston. That's how she has them.
If you're there on the front row, I mean, players are throwing stuff out. Dude, sometimes they enter the game, they don't even know if they threw their warm-up to a team, if they just threw it to a fan. Like, there's always stuff laying around. You might be able to leave with something. An armband, a shoe, if a guy gives it to you.
I got a sweat wristband from the Houston Oilers one time when I went to a game. His name was Bo Orlando. He was like a cornerback.
I got a sweatband from Jason Terry. He played for the Mavericks, but it was a
dude. He wore the sweatband
on his head. It was an armband, and he was wearing Rafe LaFrance's armband because it has LaFrance number 45. And he threw it to me as he just threw it down on the ground as he's walking out the court, and I picked it up in the tunnel, and I put it in my pocket.
So I guess he was like out of wristbands and just borrowed one?
Yeah, I guess so. And then I have a chair back from the NBA Finals. I just stuck it under my shirt when I worked at the Spurs.
What does it say, NBA Finals?
NBA Finals. And it says, I believe, 2005. And then I have a piece of the net when Bruce Bowen cut it down and gave it to me.
Okay, but what are you going to do with all that stuff?
I'm going to frame it.
Okay.
Eventually.
And then you're going to put it in a room or something?
Yeah, I'll have it in a room. Yeah.
I like the idea of you keeping it, because I don't think it's stuff that's going to sell
on
eBay.
No, I don't want to sell
it. It's personal
stuff
you want.
But how cool is it that I was on the court when they won the championship and Bruce Bowen cut the net and handed me a piece of the net?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that is unreal.
No, that's cool. But the sweatpants, like, what are you going to do with all those?
I don't know.
I bet you could sell those.
Oh, well, you could sell them for sure, because my wife worked there and they were cleaning out, like, they were from, like, the 90s. Like, when they were winning championships. It's like the old uniform.
Hakeem Olajuwon?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Glide. You have his pants?
I don't know. I'll have to look at what number jersey it has on there.
What?
I'll have to look at them. Yeah,
dude, we need to sell
ones.
These and make some money.
I don't know about that. I like collector's items. It's cool. But, guys, we got to talk about Antonio Brown. We never talked
about
it.
Hit it.
He got upset because he wasn't voted team MVP. That's why he came into work upset, blew up at Ben Roethlisberger, and that's all that went down. After they lost to New Orleans, the next week, or they do the vote, and Juju Smith-Schuster got voted team MVP, and Antonio Brown got butthurt.
That is awesome. We should have known it was something dumb like
Coach,
that.
But to be fair, though, like, Antonio Brown is he's the greatest player on that team. Juju, he was just always double covered. Like, he couldn't do anything because he was double covered. Juju wasn't.
I wonder in that voting if anybody was just joking around and they voted Le'Veon.
Just to piss him off. Oh, that's funny.
He shows up to work. He's not voted MVP. He's in a bad way. And that carried over into the walkthrough, a source said.
Wow.
He was frustrated.
I mean, that makes sense.
Really?
The new kid
coming
up.
You're going to throw the football at Ben Roethlisberger and get upset because you weren't voted MVP?
Ben might have voted against him.
What did Ben say, though? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you got voted something or you didn't get a vote or something, you wouldn't just randomly throw a football at one of us. Like, unless we set something.
No, he's probably mad because Big Ben's throwing Juju the ball.
Oh. That'd be really stupid.
But that's what it is.
That'd be really stupid.
Listen. Or he goes, Ben, Big Ben, who did you vote for? And Ben turned around and goes,
Juju.
And then Antonio took the ball and threw it at him.
Or maybe Ben just goes over like, yeah, Juju deserved it more than you.
Oh!
Fighting words. What did you just say?
Grab the football.
Football. I mean, we don't know.
We don't know, but that is so funny to me that he's that mad about not being named team MVP.
We're not talking about NFL MVP.
That's what I was saying.
We're talking about team self-given by the team MVP.
That team is in trouble.
There's so much there's something going on there that is so bad.
So Tomlin for sure is like, okay, not doing team MVP next year.
Yeah, we're just going to go ahead and...
Hey, at the beginning of the season, they're in a boardroom and be like, guys, we need incentives for all the players.
Team MVP, it'll be great for morale.
Great idea, Tom. I'll write that down, team MVP. Now the next one...
No, this week, Tom, can I see you in my office? Tom, what a terrible idea. You're fired.
Tom, terrible idea.
I mean, that is so great. So great.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's great. That's crazy.
Boys, I know we're not closing the show. I do have my lock, though. That's my 5-minute teaser. I do have a lock.
Coming up in 5 minutes, Raymundo's
lock.
Oh, boys,
we got to get to the playoffs, boys.
Yes, let's
it's
go.
It's this weekend.
Come we're on. An hour in. Let's keep humping. Let's go.
We're an hour in?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't even know. Man,
get humping.
Guys, I thought we were going to talk about the playoffs a lot today.
Come on.
We got sidetracked.
We had a big basketball night last night.
We got sidetracked, but listen, okay. Game one.
Game one.
Colts at
Houston.
Texans. Okay.
Gosh, I never thought I would say this in my life, but I think the Colts are going to win this one. Like, I never root for the Colts. I never even watch Colts games. Like, when I watch Sunday's Ticket and they're all split up in 8 games, that's the one team the Colts are playing. I don't really even care to watch.
Yeah, because they're so boring, kind of. They're not an interesting team.
I really like the Colts. I like their offensive line. What they've done, they've really showed up the off. Andrew Luck is protected all the time. Their defense is pretty solid. But the only problem I have, this is just me, is so many people keep saying, oh, it's definitely the Colts. So when it's that obvious, I'm like, oh, it's got to be the Texans.
Take the other side.
Yeah, because I, going into this week, was like, wow, man, Colts are going to just blow them out.
Dang it, I already did my parlay.
Colts are going to blow them out. But then everybody is saying, oh, it's the Colts. When it's that obvious.
But not everyone, because, I mean, it's plus one.
Right, you Colts know, get
they're,
one.
They're no, not but, favored.
Right. No, that but that means they're clearly the better team is what Vegas is saying.
Oh, because it's a home game for Houston.
Because it's a home game Houston, so you get 3 points for home field advantage. So they're saying it would be the Colts minus seven in Indianapolis.
Yes.
Or minus six. Something like, so that's, they're saying they're clearly the better team.
Oh, good math. Yeah, I got it.
Four.
Yep.
Yeah, in there, in and around there. Yes. It's like four or five.
It's crazy.
I mean, I see high scoring, you know, I see high scoring on both sides, but I just don't see Deshaun Watson like getting the job done against the Colts. I just don't. Like, it's so weird. Like, when I watch games, I just kind of watch and soak it. I don't analyze like you. I don't look at numbers or anything like that. And when I see this game, watching the little of what I've seen of the Colts all year, and then seeing Houston, Mr. Jekyll and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, like who knows who we're gonna get? I just don't see the Texans like having a chance against the Colts. I just don't.
Boys, is this the time when I give my lock?
I've always said, I've been saying all year, the Texans are the most overrated 10 and whatever team. They just seem to, I don't know, but they seem
and
to win.
Is Lamar Miller playing?
He better be. If he ain't playing, they ain't winning.
Well, and I don't know if the homeboys 100%. T.Y. Hilton.
He was T.Y. Hilton is 100%. He owns the Houston Texans.
Okay, against the Titans, he was kind of dome down there.
And Coacher, it's almost like he doesn't need to be 100% ever. Like, really.
He's that good.
Three huge catches in a game, and that's all he needs to do.
He is so fast and so good.
And I love Ebron, too.
Ebron's coming to play because he just had a baby this week. Aiden was born.
Dude, and he's huge across the middle. I think every time against the Titans, up the middle, Ebron's wide open in the middle.
Andrew Luck, what's he love? He loves a tight end.
Yeah.
Okay, Coach, so when you look at a spread and home team should always get 3 points. So if
that's usually for NFL, it's 3 points.
Okay, so looking at the Cowboys, they're not favored. They would be because they're home. They're home and they're minus two. So
they're favored, but in different home fields are different because Cowboys Stadium is not really a huge home field advantage. Like Seattle, I would say their home field advantage is 3.5 points.
Yeah,
okay,
like it's a little more.
12th man, Heinz Field.
So, Ray, was your lock on that Texans game?
Guys, I'm going to give you my lock right now. I don't want you guys to wait any longer for it. You need this money for this weekend after the holidays. We're all in debt. We all put some money on the credit card we shouldn't have.
We're all feeling it.
Okay, so what you can do, go to the websites online, place this bet. Colts, I absolutely love, plus one. You're getting a point. It can end in a tie. It can't, though.
No, it can't. It's a playoff.
Sorry,
it's a
good talk. Stupid. Sorry, so the Colts get one. That one really
it's
doesn't
an
matter.
Even game.
So here's the thing. If you're going to bet the Colts, why not just bet money line? If you think that 1 point,
it pays more to do
money
line.
Love it, guys. I'm gonna actually change it because Lunch just talked me into this. It's so obvious since it can't end in a tie. You don't need that plus one.
You don't.
The Colts have to win this game, so go money line and lock it up.
You actually win more if you do money line.
I love the Colts. I absolutely love the Colts. They are so damn good. This is one of those. It might be a romping, so you might just be chilling the whole game.
They are not
Colts,
damn good.
Let me finish.
The Colts are really good.
Oh, lock it up. Thank you.
All right. Smart, Coach. Smart on the money line. Didn't even
think
about that.
That's some great advice. I added it.
Because if you think the Colts are going to win.
That's why I was trying to break it down with the tie.
Then why do you want the 1 point? The 1 point means nothing.
You got to my end point before I could. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, now we go down to the road to Dallas on Saturday night. And, I mean, what time's the barbecue starting over your house, Eddie?
See, my wife's already said, do you want Lunchbox and Ray over?
Oh, yeah, we've already been planning on it.
Coach, we're not coming over?
Listen, I told her, look, it's almost like at that point where, like, whatever you want, babe, but really, I don't like that. Like,
what?
I love you guys, but when it's Cowboys time, I don't want to be, like, making sure the brisket's ready
and
whatever.
You do the brisket earlier in the day. You cook the fajitas. We come. We show up at 7. The game's at 7:15. We're eating. We're watching football. We're drinking beers. My wife and I had already made plans.
We got Cheetos on the table. We got a bunch of stuff. And then Baby Box gets a Cheeto, chokes on it. And we're like, okay, now we got to get the Cheeto out of the baby's mouth. And, like, I'm trying to watch the game. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Hey, the dogs
are
around.
Are you shocked by this?
You having people over?
I'm still thinking about it.
I thought for sure we were going to Eddie's house to watch the Cowboys game.
Well, I'm texting my chick right now. Don't get six-pack of Miller Lite.
Yeah, I'm telling my wife, I'm telling my wife, party canceled, man.
Coach, I didn't know. I didn't. She asked me yesterday.
I thought it was the perfect time. A Saturday night. It's not a Sunday night, so it's not like we got to work in the morning. I thought it was a perfect opportunity.
Up. You guys want brisket?
Return.
I want some fajitas.
Pack.
Yeah.
You want fajitas or brisket?
Fajitas.
I can smoke a brisket.
Return the limes that you were gonna put in the Corollas.
Those homemade margaritas you're gonna make. Scratch that.
Your fajitas are pretty unbelievable.
Okay. Oh, I'll think about it.
All right. So you got Seattle coming down to Dallas.
They played
in Seattle this year.
Yes.
Seattle won.
I like it.
And Seahawks coach Pete Carroll on playing in Cowboys Stadium. It's a real glitzy place. When you come out of a football locker room ready to play football and then you go into a nightclub, it's kind of like, we're in a club? Wait a minute. We got to play football, I thought. And then you come back through the club. Anyway, it's unusual. And then the fans are right with you, too, behind the bench. Those people sitting behind you, like they're below the ground. I don't even know how they see the game. I guess they don't even care about seeing the game. They're just having a good time. But I got to say, it's an unusual place.
I love Pete Carroll.
Because everything I've said about Cowboy Stadium, he just said it.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Although we've never addressed the tunnel and the locker room thing. That is kind of crazy. I mean, it's almost like a red carpet where there's fans lined up and it's
rich
really
fans.
Neon blue in there. It looks like a nightclub. It's crazy.
Yes.
If you're rich, you get to go watch the players go through a tunnel. And it's not just any tunnel. It's lit up. There's neon lights. There's blue lights. There's confetti.
It's like Pete Carroll said. It's a nightclub.
And I've always said, those people that sit below the ground, what are you doing? Those are the worst seats in the house. You can't even see the game, but whatever. You're paying a lot of money. Enjoy it.
I didn't realize there were those people behind the players.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That is crappy.
And also, Pete didn't mention there, if you look up on the stadium deck, there are some girls dancing on poles.
Oh, he's not, a club.
Not lying with that one. I'm dead serious. One time I went to get a cowboy Rita, but my boy was wondering where I was 30 minutes later. I thought I was in a strip club.
Okay, so yeah, Cowboy Stadium really isn't a threat to a lot of other players,
no.
huh?
No,
other
coach, teams. Of course not. Seattle thinks that's no threat. 12th man, they would have been 12th man is like another player. That's why it's called 12th man. Cowboys have no 12th. Their 12th man is a margarita machine and a club and girls dancing on poles. That's their 12th man.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So Cowboys win?
I'm not locking it up, but I like Seattle.
You like Seattle?
I'm sorry.
Coach, it's okay. You can say whatever you want.
Listen, they both want to run the ball, so it's going to be a low-scoring game.
You would think.
You would think.
I'd pick the under on it, yeah.
That's where
43.
Ooh, yeah, I like the under. I think they both have good defenses, a good enough defense, and I think, boy, I don't know. If I'm betting, I'm taking Seattle plus 2.5 just because I think they have the better quarterback. They have the better quarterback. They're the best rushing team in the NFL, and so I lean towards Seattle.
Eddie, do you like Dink and Dak, or is it just a homer pick? Tell me.
I really feel like going in, it's going to be rely heavily on Ezekiel Elliott, rely heavily, and then once all the attention is on Zeke, then find Amari Cooper. I really liked, and I don't know if the Cowboys were trying different things last week
against
the Giants.
They used their tight ends a lot.
They used their tight ends a lot.
Finally.
And I feel like that's going to be key. Just changing it up. They're going to think they're going to give to Zeke a lot. There are so many options that the offense can do, and they've proved that they can do it well. Dak keeping the ball, one. Zeke, whatever. Using tight ends. Amari Cooper deep.
Did Amari Cooper play against the Giants?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. He had like one catch.
Utilizing Cole Beasley in the slot. Like all of those things, changing it up is going to be key for the Cowboys. I don't think that the Seattle defense can keep up with all of those changes. I think at the end, it's going to be really close, but the Cowboys pull it.
Dang, Jason Garrett, you sounded like a coach
there. I just feel like that's what we're going to see.
And earlier in the season, they were so desperate for tight ends, the Cowboys tried to convince Jason Witten to come out of retirement.
Did they really?
Yeah.
But Cowboys are using three different tight ends. Like,
yes.
I didn't even know we're on the Cowboys. Like, it's good stuff. I mean, and then not even to mention the defense. Cowboys defense is just, I mean, they're rock solid.
I thought they gave up like 35 points last weekend.
Coach, it was the Giants. It was a no threat game.
What do you mean it wasn't a threat?
It was a no threat game. And we could have lost that game and we still would have been in the same situation.
Right, it wouldn't have mattered, but you still had your players out there.
Yeah, I know, but Sean Lee played and came back. And
well, Vander Esch went down.
Vander Esch got hurt and everybody went,
is he okay?
I think he's okay.
Yeah, he's good.
So anyway,
have you checked on him?
No,
you
coach.
Think he's
no,
okay?
Coach,
he's got a big
coach,
game on
even
Saturday.
Even if he's not okay, he needs to play.
Okay.
Then we go Sunday, Baltimore and San Diego Chargers, Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh
man, I wanted Phillip Rivers in the beginning, in the preseason. I picked the Chargers and the Saints to go to the Super Bowl. And I don't think the Chargers can beat the Ravens. I just 2 weeks ago they played and the Ravens absolutely dominated them. Dominated in every aspect. Phillip Rivers was running for his life all freaking night. All freaking night.
Yeah, which isn't good.
And I think it happens.
Because he can't run.
Right, and I think it's going to happen again. I think that defense shuts him down. I think that Baltimore running game and the Baltimore defense just shuts the Chargers down. And I think Phillip Rivers is out again.
Lamar Jackson, how does he do?
He's got to run the ball.
Just keep the ball and run it.
Run it. But he had his most yards passing ever when they played the Chargers. They switched it up on him.
They switched it up.
Because you thought he was going to be running it. Yep. He was like, whoop. Boop, boop. He's inaccurate, but they win.
That one fake, the replay is amazing, of Lamar Jackson when he did the fake to the running back and he ran it up the gut for like 20 yards.
Yeah, touchdown.
I mean, he is so dirty. And they said on the play, he faked out not only like some guys really close to the ball, he faked out like safeties and stuff on that play when he was handing it off to the running back.
I feel like the Chargers are going to be trailing the whole game.
What's the line?
2.5.
It's 2.5.
Wow. Baltimore -2.5.
Yeah, I think the Chargers will trail the whole game, and then at the end, Rivers will pull it off.
And also, another reason, I don't know what the weather's like in Baltimore, but I got a feeling it's going to be cold.
Oh, there's got to be a nor'easter moving its way up.
Get some bad weather up there.
Good point.
Those boys from LA, they don't want to play in the cold. I tell you guys, that cold makes a difference.
We didn't have enough snow games. I want to see some playoff games with a little weather. Cowboy Stadium, we're not getting any weather. Hopefully, we get some weather from Baltimore.
How about Soldier Field? Could have some weather there.
Beautiful. Let's go. Right off the lake. That's some great lake effect snow.
Yeah.
Coach, easy game for the Bears?
No.
Oh, I think it's going to be easy.
Why? What's easy about it?
Because the Eagles are like...
The defending Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
They're hot. What have they done the last few weeks? They beat the Rams. They beat the Redskins.
Foles almost get hurt, though?
He did. He did get a little hurt. I do think our defense can suffocate the Eagles' offense.
Correct.
But I don't think our offense is that good.
That line is -6.5 Bears.
I don't think the Eagles' passing game is there. And then these running backs, like who are the Smallwood and Clem, like these random little running backs.
Well, and Sproles.
Sproles, whatever. But I just feel like the Chicago Bears defense will stop all of that. Just Trubisky's going to have to, like, I think the offense is just going to have to go. Little Tariq Cohen's going to have to go.
Yeah. But the Eagles' defense is good. Like, the Eagles have been playing better defense of late. I'm excited.
What running back did you guys just get? Is there an old running back that just came back? Sorry. I thought I read something about
Walter Payton?
Yes. Yes.
Curtis Enos? You know who that is?
No.
He went to Penn State and he was a flame out in the NFL.
I thought somebody came back recently.
Rashawn Salaam, rest in peace.
Who is that?
He went to the University of Colorado.
Is that Rocket?
I believe. No, that's Rocket Ismail.
Oh.
He went to Notre Dame. But Rashawn Salaam, I thought he was the answer. The Bears drafted him in the 90s. I believe he won the Heisman at Colorado, and he was terrible, terrible. And I think he was just smoking too much, and he ended up killing himself, I believe.
Oh, man.
Rest in peace, Rashawn.
R.I.P. Hey, so just take your fan hat off and just...
Oh, Bears are winning the game. Bears are winning the game.
But the -6.5.
6.5 scares me. So we're going to go ahead and slam.
It's not 6.5. It's 6 right now.
Listen, guys, if you want to bet, if you want to win.
It's 6, boys.
You're ready to win some money. You take the Seattle Seahawks +2.5, and you take it to the bank.
Guys, it's 2. These lines are changing. It's 2 right now.
Guys, these are the NFL playoffs. Do you know how many people are in Vegas for this weekend? Yeah, they're moving the lines.
It's 2 now.
Okay. 2.
You like 2?
I like Seattle.
All right. Because, I mean, that's a difference. 2 and 3. Like, that's a...
No, 2.5 is the difference.
Big,
that hook.
Big,
that
big,
hook.
Big difference.
It's not as big a difference as a 3.5. The field goal hook is a big difference.
Yeah. When you go up through 3 and up through 7, those are the big
guys,
ones.
Guys, you might wait for those 3 points all night. All right. Are we going to the other game? Or that's just this weekend's
game?
That's
it. That's it. For the weekend. All right. Good luck, everyone. I'll talk to the wife. I mean, I really don't want you guys over, but... I'll talk to the wife.
That's cool. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the playoffs. College basketball's back tomorrow, too. I mean, there's some good stuff happening this weekend. Enjoy.
Lunchbox likes the Bears. The -6 is dirty. He locked up, though, the Seattle game, +2.5.
Whatever.
Eddie, did you shut the door on anything?
No, I mean.
Okay, it's only the NFL playoffs. Huge NFL weekend, and you didn't shut the door on anything?
This is too much, man. Like, all my money's going towards the Cowboys. I don't want to drive people that way. But for me, it's if the Cowboys win, I win money, and the Cowboys move on, it's going to be a good weekend. If they don't, I'll just suffer.
The lady at the front desk told me, Cowboys win this weekend.
She said
Yeah, and you can't even tell me a lock?
I can't do it.
All right, we're out of here.
I don't want to disappoint all our listeners. I'm sorry.
Have a great weekend. And if you get in an Uber with Brian Dunkelman, give him an extra tip, man.
Damn, poor guy.
Also, right, don't rip on Uber drivers. It's a great profession. You make $200 a day. And if you do that for a full time, you can end up making $400,000 a year.
All right, everybody have a good weekend.
$40,000 a year, sorry.
Goodbye.